Well, there's a letter written that goes like this: Dear cousin, just a line to say I'm living and I'm not among the dead, though I'm getting more forgetful and mixed up in the head. For sometimes I can't remember when I stand at foot of stairs if I must go up for something or if I've just come down from there. And before the fridge, so often my poor mind is filled with doubt. Have I just put food in there? Or have I come to take some out? It's not my turn to write you. There's no need of getting sore. Or if it's not my turn to write you, there's no need of getting sore. I may think that I have written and don't want to be a bore. So remember, I do love you and wish that you were here. But now it's nearly mail time, so I must say goodbye, my dear. P.S. There I stood beside the mailbox with my face so very red. Instead of mailing you the letter, I had opened it instead. Well, there, I guess for all of us, is a challenge at times to remember. I'm going to begin a series this morning entitled Running Your Incredible Race. It's a series on the book of 2 Timothy. Paul's writing his final letter. He's writing a letter to a young man that with whom he had a close relationship, a young man that was a pastor. And Paul, now coming to the end of his life, writes this letter challenging this man in his incredible race as he reflects on the incredible race that he has run and the incredible race that Timothy had before him. And in these pages, what you'll find is that God will challenge you to faithfully run your incredible race. So would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And when you find it in a few minutes, we will stand together and I'll read the scriptures aloud. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the scriptures? I'll begin reading in verse 1 and then we will read through verse 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll notice that the apostle Paul calls Timothy my beloved son. Timothy and Paul had a very close relationship. It was about 15 years earlier that Paul was at the outset of his second missionary journey. He comes to the twin cities of Derbe and Lystra, and there's a young man there named Timothy who had come to the Lord and had showed such great promise. And Paul invites Timothy, you read about it in the first five chapters of Acts 16, Paul invites Timothy to join his missionary team. And this began a journey that they were lifelong companions and co-laborers in the Lord in the years to come. And so he continues as he writes to Timothy, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, as we read the scriptures, there is one word that is used three different times. Did you catch it? It's the word remembrance. You see, Paul wanted Timothy to remember some things that were significant about the race that he needed to run, the race that was before him. And you know, God wants to remind you and I of things along the way in the race that he has for each of us. So I'm going to preach to you today on this subject, be mindful, a challenge to remember. And on each occasion that the Apostle Paul uses the term remember, it's a challenge to Timothy and his memory, and it's a challenge to you to remember on your incredible race. Let's ask God to speak to us, okay? And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak. Now, you have spoken in this word that you have given to us. You have preserved it. It is truth. And so we thank you that you have spoken then. And what we're asking you to do is to speak now, because in this room are people who have before them yet other legs of the journey on this incredible race. And so we ask that your Spirit would do what you know needs to be done in us, to speak to us and meet with us and give us the, help us to see what we must see to run our incredible race. So God, we ask for your Spirit's enabling and power and filling. We yield to your Spirit to receive from you today, for we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, here's the first reminder, I guess I'll call it, the first challenge that the Apostle Paul gives Timothy for his incredible race. Are you ready? Here's the first. Be mindful of the importance of prayer. Be mindful of the importance of prayer. And Paul shares his testimony, he shares his story, what's happening in his life, beginning in verse 3. And he tells Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. You see, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, I want you to know about my desire to see you. He knew his race was done, or nearly done, and he said, you know, before I finish my race, I just want to see you one more time to be with you. He tells us about the significance of the relationship. In fact, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul twice says, I want you to do thy diligence to come. Would you make sure you do it? And in fact, Timothy was ministering in the city of Ephesus. And Paul says, I've even sent Tychicus. He tells him in chapter 4, verse 12, to Ephesus. So when he gets there, he can watch over the church and you can come to Rome and be with me this last time. In fact, when I see you, I'm going to be filled with joy. Just wanted to be with him. And he says, letting you know about my desire to see you, I want you to know that I'm concerned for you. So in verse 4, he says, you know, Timothy, I know the burdens you carry. I know, verse 4, thy tears. Verse 7, I'm mindful of their fears. He knew his tears. He knew his fears. He knew the burdens that he bore. He understood. And he says, I want you to know that I'm concerned for you. But before he shares all of that, there's something else the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to know that was so significant. It was first on his list. It was this: I want you to know that I am praying for you. Look at verse 3. I thank my God, for whom I serve from my forefathers, that with pure conscience, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Do you get the idea when you read it that Paul was serious about praying for this man? I think about you all the time. I'm praying for you all the time, day and night. I'm praying for you without ceasing. I have such a burden for you. I'm so concerned for you. And I'm at the end of my journey, but your journey is being run and your race is being run, and I'm praying for you as you run your race. The story is told about a man who was talking to a precocious 6-year-old boy and said, so your mother says your prayers for you each night. Very commendable. What does she say? He asked the little boy, and the little boy replied, thank God he's in bed. Now, I want you to think about this. Who are the people that pray for you? And when they pray, what do they pray for you? Isn't it wonderful there are people that pray for you? What are they praying? I want you to think about this. For whom are you praying? Who's that person that you're praying for them on their incredible journey? For God to work in their life. Maybe that person that doesn't yet know Christ and is lost. That person that's wandering, that person that needs strength, and that person that needs power, the person that's going through the valley of the shadow of death, the person that is carrying such burdens, and God has burdened you, and you're praying for them. Now, I'm going to tell you, in life, a lot of things get pushed aside. You ever found that? But you know, one of the things that gets pushed aside, I guess, as much as almost anything else, is prayer. We're running around doing this and doing that, and that needs done, and this needs done, and I understand it. And boy, we're preaching, and I'm for preaching. We ought to have preaching. And I'm for all of it that God wants to do, we ought to do. But did you ever notice how when everything else is going crazy, the thing that gets pushed aside is prayer? And Paul says, I'm at the end of my journey. He's in prison. He's waiting his death. And he says, Timothy, with all that is on my mind, I want you to know that I am praying for you. So be mindful of the importance of prayer. Could God be speaking to you on this day in your incredible journey about your prayer life? Could he speak to you? Maybe he is speaking to you about your prayer life. Well, be mindful of the importance of prayer. Then there's a second time the term is used, the term remembrance is used. You find it in verse 5. And when Paul tells Timothy about this memory, he gives Timothy a second challenge. Here's the second challenge. Be mindful of the importance of personhood. Be mindful of the importance of personhood. You say, Pastor, what is personhood? Well, I would say that there is very little doubt that you are a person. A little nervous laughter there. I'm not talking about the fact that you are a person. There's little question about that. In fact, I have no question that you are a person. But what I mean is this. I mean the person you are becoming, your character, your conviction, who you really are. It's not what you pretend to be. It's not what people think you are. But it is the person that God knows you, or the person who God knows you to be. Now, when the Apostle Paul thinks of Timothy, look at the words that he uses to describe Timothy's life when he thinks of him. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You see, whenever Paul describes Timothy and he's thinking about Timothy, he's praying for Timothy, here's what comes to his mind. What comes to his mind is his unfeigned faith. And then he tells us a little bit about Timothy's story. He tells us about Timothy's mother's side of his family. And he tells us, you'll notice if you would, verse 5, not only that unfeigned faith which is in thee, but which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Grandma Lois was the first person in their family that came to Christ. And the gospel was preached, and she heard the gospel, and she responded, and she was born again, the first one in her family to have been saved. Wonderful! But she wasn't the last. Because you'll notice again, look at your Bible. It's first in thy grandmother Lois, but then thy mother Eunice. And then her daughter Eunice heard the gospel, and she by faith trusted Jesus Christ, and she was saved. Wonderful! But she wasn't the last. Because we're told as well, look at your Bible, verse 5. And I am persuaded, he tells Timothy, that in thee also. Now grandma came to the Lord, grandma Lois. Mom, Eunice, mama got saved. And now Timothy, having heard the truth, he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he could be saved from the wrath of God to come through Jesus. And he put his faith in Jesus. And now Timothy was saved. When you read about these ladies in Acts chapter 16, the first five verses that tell us about when Paul met Timothy, these are Jewish ladies. So on Timothy's mother's side, he was Jewish. But his father's side was a different story. We don't read about his father here. We only read this one line about Timothy's father when you read the account in Acts chapter 16, and it's this, that his father was a Greek. So here you have a man, a young man, whose dad was Greek, a Gentile pagan background, whose mom was Jewish, but she was lost and had to come to Christ as well. His father seems to have very little influence or impact in his life. There's nothing else said about him except that he happened to be a Greek man. But do you know what made the difference for Timothy? What made the difference for Timothy was that whatever his background was or wasn't, he embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. When God the Spirit called for him to come to Christ, he turned from his sins and trusted Jesus Christ. And when God the Spirit dealt with his heart to transform his life, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ and he committed himself to Jesus Christ. You see, people that run an incredible race, it's not nearly as significant where you came from as where you're going. So he tells us a little bit about Timothy's story, and then he tells us about the qualities of personhood you need to run your race. You can't get so caught up in whatever your past story is, and all of us have a past story, that you forget what really it requires to run this race that God has for you, the incredible race, and it is the qualities of your life. There are two qualities that God tells us about Timothy as you read this passage. The first one is his character. He's described with these words, unfeigned faith. It means without hypocrisy. In the ancient world, there would be plays, dramas, the Greek and the Roman world. And an actor would, of course, come in costume, but there would be masks, and the masks would indicate something of the character that is being portrayed. And guess what? In the ancient world, those actors were called. Do you know what they were called? They were called hypocrites. Because they had a mask, but the real person was behind the mask. And then Paul takes this term, and he says of Timothy, you are a man of unfeigned faith. That is, without a mask. You're not acting. You're not pretending to be something you're not. You're not trying to live up to an image that you aren't. You are authentic and real. There's nothing you're trying to hide because you are the real deal. Do you want to run an incredible race? You always have to go back to your character, the person you are. So let me ask you then about your personhood. What kind of a person are you? Are you the real deal? No masks. No need to hide or pretend. Beyond character, there's another quality that's essential for you to live your incredible race. About 15 years earlier, the Apostle Paul met Timothy. He was a much younger man, of course. This young man had shown such promise, so much so that the Apostle Paul invited him to join the missionary team, and he willingly followed. His father was a Greek. And it was not a custom for Greek men to be circumcised, and so or Greek babies to be circumcised. So he wasn't circumcised, though his mother was Jewish, as was the Jewish custom. But here's a man who, when invited to join the team, here's a man that because Paul knew that they would minister not just to Gentile people, but they would minister to Jewish people. And for this man, as an individual who is not circumcised, it could create a stumbling block for the gospel for a Jewish Jewish people that they would minister to. And so do you know what he does the first thing? As an adult man, he's willingly circumcised so that his ministry could be expanded. And throughout his life of ministry, the Apostle Paul would send him here and send him there. I want you to go to Corinth. There's something I want you to do over there. I want you to go to Thessalonica. There's something I want you to do there. In fact, he is now pastoring in Ephesus, and he got there because 1 Timothy 1:3, the Apostle Paul said, I'm sending you to Ephesus because there's some things that need to take place there in that church, and they need some help. And there he is pastoring, and that's how he got there. And so the Apostle Paul, now, years later, looks back about his life, and he thinks about Timothy, and he thinks about all the years that he's been with Timothy, and they've spent time together traveling, and he's been a co-laborer with Timothy, and he looks back on his life, and he describes him not only as an individual of unfeigned faith, but he says this of him: it's something that is real with you. It started with Grandma Lois, it was real with your mom, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The grammatical structure of it says this. It says that I have absolutely no doubt it is a done deal. There is no question in my mind that you are an individual who is willing to do whatever must take place to live out your journey. And it is so true of you as an individual. And that brings us to the second quality for your incredible race. If you're going to run your incredible race, beside character, here's the next one you need. It is the word commitment. A young man who in his youth was willing. Now he's lived this journey for 15 years. And now Paul, at the end of his journey, says, I am so convinced by your character and by the reality of your commitment to the Lord, that you're ready for that next step in your incredible race. And I wonder if God is speaking to you about your character or about your commitment. So what about running your incredible race? Talent, is it good? Hey, talent's wonderful. Opportunity, hey, it's wonderful when God brings opportunity. Your personal appeal, boy, it's wonderful if you're an individual that's been gifted with personal appeal. How about big talk? And there are a lot of big talkers. You know what I'm talking about? See, all of that in time will fade. What keeps you running when the race is long? And what keeps you running when the race is difficult? What keeps you running when you're tired and you don't see the end in sight? What keeps you running when there are dangers in the way and there are potholes? And what keeps you running? Character and commitment. So the Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter, reminds his dear friend, companion, co-laborer, Timothy. He reminds him, be mindful of the personhood, of your personhood, the person you're becoming. And you know, God may be reminding you of that very thing today. Who am I becoming? Who is the person that I am? Be mindful of the importance of prayer. Be mindful of the importance of personhood. Remember, I'm praying for you. Remember that character and commitment count. But then there is a final challenge to remember. And it is this: be mindful of the importance of spiritual passion. Be mindful of the importance of spiritual passion. So in verse 6, the Apostle Paul gives Timothy a challenge and he takes him on a walk down memory lane. You'll notice the challenge, verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." How many of you know what it is to, whether it's a bonfire or it's the fireplace, to watch that fire burn? It burns beautifully and brightly, and you feel the warmth of it, enjoy it. But over time, that fire will tend to die down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When the fire dies down, what do? Well, let's say you have a fire in your fireplace and the fire is dying down. Here's what you do. You put another log on the fire. You refuel that fire, but then you take your poker and you stick that poker in there and you shake that thing around and you stir up that fire. Now, how many of you like to do that? You would like to do that? Isn't it fun? I love to do that. And you watch the sparks go up, and then the next thing you know, that fire that was just dying out, it's rekindled and it's reflected, and you feel the heat and you see the flame and you enjoy the warmth of it and the beauty of it. The Apostle Paul takes that same term and he says, I want you to do this, Paul or Timothy, because your fire, your spiritual passion is going to die down. I want you to remember this. When your spiritual passion dies down, I want you to stir up the gift. That's what put a poker in that fire and stir it up. Now, how many of you know that in life, your spiritual passion get worn down, your fire dims, and the heat of it and the passion of your walk with God and all that God has for your life, it gets crowded out with other things, the flesh, how many factors sort of take that. You lose your spiritual passion. You know what I'm talking about? So Paul says to Timothy, I want you to make sure you stir it up. That's his challenge. And then he takes him on a walk down memory lane. We read about the gift of God which is in thee by the stirring or the laying on of my hands. And he takes him back to the time when he was ordained to ministry. It's a practice that was part of the New Testament church, and we still do it today. Men whom God has called and their character is appropriate and reflective of the office and the role that God gives them, and we lay hands on them and we pray for them and commit them to that calling to fulfill it. And he takes him back to that day. Paul was there. He says, you remember back, Timothy, when we gathered around and we laid our hands in you and we prayed and we committed you to ministry, the calling that God had for you. Do you remember? And it wasn't that the gift that Timothy had was given because Paul laid hands on it. He gave him the gift. Really, he laid hands on it. It was acknowledgement that God had gifted this man and called him to do this in his life. And this is what God had for him. You remember when your heart was aflame for Christ? Oh, you knew what would be ahead. You knew it wasn't going to be an easy life. Faithful ministry is never an easy life. And oh, he knew it firsthand. He watched Paul and was with Paul in so many ventures and challenges. He said, but do you remember that day? The passion you had, that you said, this is what I want to commit my life to. He said, I want you to look back. Because along the way, you're going to have to renew your passion. Maybe God's dealing with you about renewing your passion. Your passion for Christ and the things of God, your passion to give yourself to Him, your passion in whatever area of life, whatever field of life, wherever He sends you to be His ambassador, a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere you are, a messenger of the truth, a servant, a minister of His grace. You, everywhere God places you and everywhere God sends you, do you still have a passion for Him? Maybe He's stirring up your passion. But the Apostle Paul does remind Timothy about a passion quencher. And for Timothy, this really quenched his passion, and maybe for you, you'll find it quenches your passion. In fact, I know that you will, because we're told of this in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear is always a passion quencher. Afraid of what people think. Afraid of what you cannot see. Afraid of what you do see. Afraid to let go. Afraid to go for it. You'd better believe fear is a passion quencher. And so while God tells us about this passion quencher, I'm so glad that God is a God that not only identifies problems, I'm glad that God is a God of solutions. And in this very verse, God tells us how he overcomes fear and how he delivers people like you and people like me from the spiritual passion quencher of fear. And you'll notice that God tells us, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but here's what God has given us. The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, God overcomes fear by the enablement of his power. The enablement of his power overcomes fear, so that we are easily overrun by our fears. But God gives us an enabling power that is beyond our capacity, that he overcomes our fear. And not just that, I want you to notice, beside that, God is a God that overcomes fear by the assurance of his love, because love casts out fear. So he gives us a spirit of power and of love. Now keep your place in 2 Timothy and turn with me to a powerful passage on fear. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'll start reading in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we that we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. How do you overcome fear? The assurance of God's love. But Pastor, you don't know the burdens and pressures that I have. Oh, but God does. Do you think God stopped loving you in the middle of all those pressures? Do you think that even those pressures that he's allowed in your life have not passed through his loving hand and care for you? But I'm telling you this, that God, who loves you with an everlasting love, will take you through those fears. How do you overcome them? You overcome them by resting in his love. God, in your love, you've allowed this in my life. God, in your love, you can carry me through. I don't doubt that you love me. Because you love me, I love you, and I will continue, even through the fears, trusting you, because your love for me makes me so secure. I want to love you back. It's in this very context, verse 19, we read, we love him because he first loved us. But there's something else about fear that God tells us. I want you to notice again verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Now, this tells you something about fear. And you probably have found it to be true in your experience, and it's true because God says it's true, but it's this. How many of you know that fear really brings you into torment in your own heart and soul? In fact, why do you think there are all kinds? You go to your dictionary or go to your dictionary app and look up phobia and look at all the lists of scores of phobias that people have. And what's that tell you? That tells you that people have psychological issues called phobias, their fears, because God was right, fear hath torment. Now, when you're living and driven and controlled by your fear, I want you to know you don't think straight. How many of you have ever made a decision? Maybe you don't raise your hand, but I'll say it. You've made a decision that was a wrong decision because you weren't thinking straight because you're driven by your fears. Yeah. You don't think straight. And so God tells us this now back in 2 Timothy chapter 1. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is, he helps you to think straight. How do I overcome fear? He has power that overcomes. His love helps me to overcome. And when I think straight, he overcomes my fears. You don't have to be controlled by your fears. And bless Timothy's heart, he's like many of us. He had fears. And in the last letter that Paul writes, he says, Timothy, don't you let those fears control you. God is a God that will help you and overcome your fears. A young man, a young lady was in a bad section of town, and she's standing at a bus stop, and she's waiting there by herself. And a rookie policeman approaches her and says, want me to wait with you? And she replied, thank you, but that's not necessary. I'm not afraid. Well then, he grinned, would you mind waiting with me? And I want to tell you, though, as your friend, a fellow traveler on the incredible race, that you're not the only one. If you think, I'm the only one that has these fears. No, no, you're not. You're not. But I want you to know that God is a God who is there with you. And he'll help you. Stoke your passion. And maybe that's what God is doing for you, because along the way in your spiritual race, on your incredible race, the passion for the Lord and the things of God has died. And on this day, God is stirring you up. Hey, remember the importance of prayer. Could God be speaking to you about your prayer life? Remember, beside the importance of prayer, remember the importance of personhood. Is God speaking to you about how he is transforming your life? You yet maybe haven't come to Christ and you need to be saved. Personally receive him to personally save you. It could be that you've been saved, but God is transforming your life and he is dealing with you about the person you're becoming on your incredible race. And then remember that our God is a God who is helping and dealing with you to restore your spiritual passion. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed and we'll pray. Oh God, as we come to you, it is a good reminder. Thank you that you gave through Paul's pen by the Holy Spirit these reminders to Timothy. We need it. We're so far removed from the incredible race that Timothy was running, but yet it is so near because we live and we need the truth to guide us. So God, I'm praying for the people that have assembled in this congregation. You've brought each of us here for your purposes to be done today. And I'm praying that today, what is your pleasure, what would please you, would be done as we yield to the voice of the Word and of the Holy Spirit.